We all know that thousands of bicyclists ride across the state of Iowa every July, but Iowa's beautiful trails are becoming a draw for bicyclists from Iowa and elsewhere during three seasons of the year. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Charity Nebbe. Travel writer Jennifer Wilson is here today with recommendations for some great bicycle trips about Iowa. We'll talk trails, restaurants, and other attractions to make your trip complete and find out why fall may just be the best time to ride. But before we talk about cycling in Iowa in 2013, we're going back in time to when bicycles first came to the state with Leo Landis, museum curator for the State Historical Museum of Iowa. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. Iowa is home to some truly wonderful bike trails, and this is the perfect time of year to get out and enjoy them. In a few minutes, I'll talk with travel writer Jennifer Wilson about her recommendations for some great fall bicycle trips around Iowa. But first, we're going to go back in time to when bicycles first came to the state. Leo Landis is museum curator for the State Historical Museum of Iowa and curator of the Riding Through History exhibit, which is on display at the museum in Des Moines through next summer. Hello, Leo.
Hello, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
So when did bicycles first start showing up in Iowa?
You started seeing them in early 1869. Benjamin Allen, or B.F. Allen, who built Terrace Hill, now the governor's mansion, was the first one in the state that we've been able to identify who had a bicycle. He bought his in February with a friend. He bicycled at night because he didn't want people to see him bicycling, is the story that researcher John Zeller here in Des Moines came up with and seems to be plausible. Then a few months, or about a month later, a few weeks later, a man named Wesley Redhead, who was a coal dealer, he purchased a velocipede. It was based on a French design. Thomas Pickering out of New York had started mass producing them in 1868. And so Allen bought one in February and Wesley Redhead bought one in March. And we have Wesley Redhead's 1869 velocipede in the museum on display now.
Wow. And tell me what a velocipede looked like.
So in many ways, they're not too dissimilar from a bicycle as we think of it today. The wheels are smaller than what a lot of people think on early bicycles, but they were based on what was then the wheel idea of the time, which was wagon wheels, and so wooden spokes with an iron rim. So it's really similar to what we think of a bike, though not curved handlebars, but flat little tiller handlebars in the front. And it was front pedal. The first bicycles were all front pedal, no chains, and you could only go as fast as you could pedal. And since the wheel was about 3 feet in diameter, you couldn't go very fast, and they were fairly unstable. They weren't real safe, and that was one of the problems with them. They were slow and a little unsafe, but it was new technology, and so a lot of people experimented with them.
And I think when a lot of us think about old-fashioned bicycles, we think about those bikes with the big high wheel in front. These didn't look like that. When did those high-wheel bikes first start showing up?
That style shows up in the 1870s. About 1877 is the first American, and they get called – that's when the term bicycle really came into common use. Those early models were usually called velocipedes, as we said. So by the 1870s, you see American companies creating the high-wheel bicycle, and that solved two problems. They were a little more comfortable. They had a nicer frame on them, and you also could go faster with that big front wheel. The problem was the braking systems weren't very effective and dangerous. I mean, all of us know today, if you put your front brake on first, you're going to go tumbling over the handlebar. Well, that was the issue with those high-wheel bicycles, was they were faster, and they were more comfortable, but if you weren't able to brake properly, you'd go over, and they called it taking a header. And you didn't want to do that. They didn't wear helmets, as you know. So that was the challenge with that style of bicycle. But they really were the first mass-produced bicycle for the American public. They just still hadn't perfected the safety issues with them.
And you told us about the first two men in Iowa to have bicycles, we think. Were men typically the people getting bicycles and riding bicycles in those days?
they really were on those earliest bicycles, and even those high-wheel bicycles were a little tough for women with the type of apparel that was deemed appropriate. And then as what we think of as bicycles today, the safety bicycle came into use in the early 1880s, then women did start participating in bicycling, but in a way of kind of reflecting what was going to happen with the automobile, the American public had people complaining about the moral decay of American women from riding bicycles. And so there were a number of 1890s almost editorials about, and they showed up in Iowa newspapers saying that, you know, this was going to lead to the decline of America's moral fabric, that bicycling for women was vulgar and indecent, and that it would lead to reckless girls.
So there was a whole campaign. I think that still must have stuck around, because my grandma used to tell me similar things about riding bicycles and running. So as bicycles became more common, of course, if you couldn't take out a horse and buggy, or that's not always convenient. And later when the cars came along, of course, they were a much more inexpensive option. How did our bicycle culture begin to really develop in the state?
And it really does predate 1900. There were bicyclists, men like John Entler, J.S. Entler, who was down in Bonaparte. He had a tin shop and he sold stoves. And Bonaparte was just over 700 people, so a small, small town. But he was one of those proponents who said, you know, this is a really fun and fascinating technology, so I'm going to bring bicycles to my community. And he was a representative for the Columbia Bicycle Company made by Pope out of Massachusetts. And this is the 1890s, and he's promoting recreational cycling in southeast Iowa as well as bicycle races. So you have people like J.S. Entler, and he even rode a tandem with friends doing, you know, cross-country rides, much like Jennifer's going to be talking about. He was doing that in the 1890s and early 1900s with friends. And so that really got bicycling as a popular activity. Newspapers were starting to cover it by 1900, and there was even a newspaper editor out of Davenport. This is some help that our Iowa City office did for me, who rode from Davenport to Omaha. His family lived in Omaha, so he rode east to west in 1892, hitting places like the Amanas and in western Iowa, Atlantic, and almost doing a reverse ragbri in 1892.
Wow. Was it considered to be a recreational activity, or did the early bicycles already get put into service for people?
It was a little bit of both, Charity, depending on what your needs were. Primarily, though, it was a recreational machine for people, and being promoted that way. One of the other bicycles we have in the collection that we'd had on exhibit for a number of years was a man in Des Moines who was an African-American gentleman. And he delivered messages around Des Moines using his bicycle. So they certainly were used for businesses in communities. But for the most part, just like today, bicycles in the United States and in Iowa are primarily recreational transportation, as opposed to being, you know, not that – and I ride my bike to work occasionally, but most of us still rely on cars for transportation.
Now, as bicycles became more common, of course, today we're seeing this effort into creating great trail systems around the states and promoting Iowa as a great place to ride your bike. But we see early efforts along those lines in the 1960s, right?
That's exactly right. John Schmidhauser, who had been a professor at the University of Iowa, he was able to make one term as a United States representative from that district. And he started thinking about, and as the baby boom was really getting larger in the 1960s, demand for recreational bicycling was taking off. So he was promoting trails much like we think of in eastern Iowa, going from the Quad Cities up to Dubuque. And that's one of those trails that has developed, and trails from Iowa City to Cedar Rapids, the Cedar Valley and the Iowa River Valley trails. So there were people in the 1960s like John Schmidhauser who were thinking in the same direction that Iowa has taken in the last 20 years to really improve its bicycle trail system.
And of course, RAGBRAI came along in 1973, and we have revisited that history a number of times on Talk of Iowa and in other places as well. But there does seem to be a little bit of a lag between that effort in the 1960s, RAGBRAI in 1973, and that becoming popular and more popular through the 1980s, and then this real effort today of investing in trails.
Exactly right. The thing with the bicycle ride in 73, and I know you have covered that a lot, is that initially it was planned to be just a six-day bicycle ride. But, you know, I was able to – I just bought a new bike yesterday, actually, and was able to ride the bike home from Ankeny along the trestle-to-trestle trail system from Ankeny down to the Drake neighborhood, and so put in 14 miles on my new bike yesterday.
Awesome. And so – for people who haven't gotten to see the exhibit yet at the State Historical Museum, and I know that will be on display through next summer, you mentioned having one of those great velocipedes in the exhibit. What are a couple of the other treasures that you have on display?
Sure. There's a fun Schwinn Super Sport light blue that retired Judge Van Zimmer purchased, he and his wife, and this just represents that taking off of bicycle culture in the 1970s, both with people having a little more disposable income, a combination of the energy crisis, and saying, what would be a great way to spend our wedding money? We're not going to buy China. They bought their bicycles with their wedding money from Novotny Cycles, no longer in business in Iowa City, but they used their wedding money. And then Judge Zimmer was then the assistant attorney for Linn County, so he was prosecuting a case during the first RAGBRAI. So the second RAGBRAI was called SAGBRAI, and it's in the exhibit too, his bicycle that he and his wife bought. He even had the canceled check from Novotny's that when they purchased their bike in 1972. So that was a great donation from a bicycling standpoint for us to get.
Oh, wonderful. Have you had, since you've put the exhibit up and opened it to the public, have you had people coming to you and saying, hey, wait, in my garage, I have something you should see?
We certainly have. There was a couple from Quad Cities who donated some things before the exhibit and really got some great things from them. But we also then had some Des Moines Bicycling Club founders who gave us one of the wool jerseys from the Des Moines Bicycling Club, because we've got a great Quad Cities Bicycle Club from about 1970 from a man named Carter LeBeau, who just passed away. He was a 40-year rider. And so that's another one of the great artifacts that we have is Carter's jersey. But because of seeing those sorts of artifacts, then we got an early Des Moines Bicycle Club jersey.
Well, Leo, thank you so much for talking with me today.
It was great. Thank you, Charity.
Leo Landis is museum curator for the State Historical Museum of Iowa. He'll be sharing bicycle history with a talk called Bicycling Through History, Iowa's Love Affair with Two-Wheeled Travel, at noon at the State Historical Society of Iowa in the Centennial Building in Iowa City. That's again this Wednesday at noon. And the Riding Through History exhibit is at the State Historical Museum in Des Moines through next summer. In a moment, travel writer Jennifer Wilson will be here. She has a lot of great fall recommendations for bicycle trips in Iowa. We also want to hear about your favorite places to bicycle in the state. You can join us at 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Now we're going to focus on modern bicycling in Iowa with travel writer Jennifer Wilson. Hello, Jennifer.
Hey, Charity. Thanks for having me back.
Well, thank you so much for coming back. Jennifer Wilson is the author of Running Away to Home, and you can find out more about her work at jennifer-wilson.com. And Jennifer, you have been out exploring bicycle trails recently, right?
I am one of those reckless girls.
I knew it.
I've taken a turn for the worst. I have.
The whole society will crumble based on you. So one of the places that you have been recently is Blackhawk County, which they have so many great trails up there.
I had a fantastic time in Blackhawk County. And, you know, this was an assignment for Iowa Outdoors magazine, which is a publication. If you're not reading it, you should be. It's a great travel publication for the state of Iowa. And they sent me to Blackhawk County to have a look around. Now, when I got to the place, the initial spot that I stopped at was George Wythe Memorial State Park. And I knew things were going to be a little bit different when I got there because this is a park that's right, I mean, the address is Waterloo proper. They have four lakes within the park, but it's so urban. There's even like a highway going across one of the lakes. You can see the highway from the beach. But this is serious wilderness in the city. And I was pretty interested in exploring all of that. And it turned out that it was a great opportunity to do that by bike. In that area alone, they have 110 miles of bike trail, and it's all looped trail, so you're never seeing the same thing twice. They have great pedestrian bridges to ride your bike across. And again, it's that urban wilderness that's become such a fascination to me. I think that's kind of what we do in Iowa. We have our wilderness in the city because, you know, the country is for the farms. And it's when I was on the pedestrian trail, probably minutes outside of downtown Cedar Falls, I came within a very week's stone's throw of a bald eagle that was hunting on the river. It was amazing.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, and I actually grew up in Cedar Falls, and George Wythe was always a great place to go for the trails, to go run or to go ride your bike. But when I was growing up, those trails weren't connected to anything else. And, of course, then I left, and they built such an incredible trail system. You can get everywhere.
Well, don't feel bad. They didn't do it just because you left. I mean, it was...
It felt a little personal.
Yeah, well, you can go back now. The thing about this area, you know, they really were devastated by the flooding in 2008, and there was so much damage and so much destruction. And Black Hawk County has worked so hard to come back so much stronger than ever before. And I was incredibly impressed, not only with the trails, which were completely clean, so much so that some people told me they rollerblade on the trails that are even by the river and that get some water sometimes. They have a trails patrol that's handing out maps and helping you with your bike tire and making sure things stay clean out there so that you can ride safely. And it all kind of loops back into Cedar Falls, which I found to be a delightful city to visit. Their Main Street alone is just fantastic.
Well, and you mentioned George Wythe State Park. So, of course, you can camp and you can ride your bicycle, but you don't have to rough it.
That's right. And you know how I like that combination. I love being outdoors in the daytime, but at night I want a soft bed. And you can stay at the Black Hawk Hotel on Main Street in Cedar Falls, and I think it's the longest running operating hotel in the state of Iowa. It's restored very well, and you have a variety of different types of rooms to stay in, but it's all right on Main Street. I could walk out the front door from the Black Hawk Hotel. Ahead of me is a fantastic bike shop. Next to it is a really solid coffee shop. Next to that is a running store. On that Main Street itself, within a block, I think it is the original Scratch Cupcakery. It's just a great place to get little pastry treats. And it was a fantastic place to stay if you're trying to do a really tight rideable or walkable vacation for a weekend.
And we talked earlier, you also mentioned the Pocket Ranger app.
Right. You know, one of the things that people ask me a lot, what state park they should go to for the weekend, and I love that I'm getting that question more and more. Myself, when I go to a place, I'm always wondering, like, where am I? Do I have friends around here? If my friends are here, where are they in the park? There is a new app that's called Pocket Ranger Iowa. If you look for it on your smartphone, you can download it. And it has really cool features like GPS maps of the parks. You can even you can make your online reservations with the Pocket Ranger. And you can look up the calendar events of what's going on in a park on the weekend, which is super important at George Wythe because they have so much stuff going on all the time. It seems like they have great races every weekend, and some of them are nationally recognized.
Right.
When I was there, they just had a big eco try. There was also a huge race that some guy from Kenya came all the way over to race in. So it's getting some notoriety as well.
And you mentioned how we have this wilderness within the city, and Cedar Falls Waterloo has a couple of those really magical little places. And another one is Hartman Reserve, which is right in between Cedar Falls and Waterloo, but it's a wonderful wilderness area right in the middle of everything.
That's right. I fell in love with that place. And I kept on thinking, you know, I can't believe I'm in the city. I was driving into this place. There's a guy who runs the programming there. His name is Chris Anderson. And it's some of those people, you know, who really know what they're doing in the woods. It's just a pleasure to be around them. And they have a really big personality so they can kind of show you what to do outside. Chris Anderson, kind of his mission is to undo the damage that all those Discovery Channel shows do to us that make us afraid to go out into nature. And it's always worst case scenario. And Shark Week makes you not want to get in the water. You know, Chris Anderson's specialty is teaching people the art of bushcrafting, which is how to do cool things in nature that make you not only survive but thrive. Like you can start your own fires or different ways to make little outdoor grills from just the materials around you. And he teaches classes like this with his assistant, Katie, throughout the weekend. So you can take a look at the Hartman Nature Preserve website, find out what they're teaching on the weekends, and maybe take a class that you can learn a little bit more about how to make your own habitat in your yard that birds want to hang out in.
Awesome. All right. So we've been talking about Black Hawk County. We will move on to other parts of the state. I'm talking with travel writer Jennifer Wilson, and you can join the conversation as well. We know there are a lot of great events for bicyclists in Iowa. There seem to be new ones every year. Right now, though, we're focusing on places. So tell us about your favorite trail and maybe a couple of the things along the trail that you love to participate in as well. Give us a call at 866-780-9100, 866-780-9100. You can also tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And where do you want to take us next, Jennifer?
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the other great trails. I won't go into as much detail about the other locations, and I'm sure the callers have lots of great recommendations for places they like to bike on a weekend. But Leo had talked earlier about going to the High Trestle Trail and taking a trip on that. That's a 25-mile trail on a 13-story half-mile river bridge right in the middle of it. It's amazing. It passes through Woodward, Madrid, Slater, Sheldahl, Ankeny. Four counties are covered by this trail. And it's been so nicely developed so that there's nice little businesses along the trail itself so that you can stop for a drink or you can stop for some food. And there's also a lot of activity in terms of organized rides. The Des Moines Bicycle Collective does a full moon ride on the trail. It starts at the Slater Trailhead that's been very popular. I think the next one is November 16th. I believe they take off at 8, but you'd look at the Des Moines Bicycle Collective website. The High Trestle Trail has been immensely popular, not only because it's just a really great trail over a gorgeous bridge, but it's just so nicely put together with businesses along the way that you can take a break and do something fun while you're also getting some good exercise.
Well, and I can only imagine, and I unfortunately haven't had this personal experience yet, but I have to think that the High Trestle Trail is truly spectacular in autumn.
Oh, yes. And, you know, that's why I love this whole – we've been going bike crazy in my family over this as the weather has been cooling down. It's the time of the year that, you know, Iowans kind of have summer exhaustion right now. It's been hot. The weather is really kind of testing you at this point. And when those temperatures break – And the trees start to turn and the bugs kind of start clearing out, it's less crowded outside. The cool weather is, I mean, people stay in Iowa for their whole lives for fall alone sometimes. I mean, this is the season for us. And so getting out there on a river with just beautiful scenery, I mean, I can't think of a better way to enjoy the state where you live.
Absolutely. Hey, let's go to the phones. And also, you can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. Mark is on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Mark.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great.
What would you like to talk about?
Well, you know, we have, you know, I just want to add that Iowa has a real variety, too. The paved trails are great, and although we have, you know, we have 1,600 miles of those, but there's also a plethora of dirt trails out there where mountain bikers can get out and enjoy. I know you were talking about the Hartman Reserve area, and I was just there this weekend, too, and was able to do, you know, 6 or so miles of mountain biking trail. And then, in addition, Iowa has about 110,000 miles of paved roads that are really great trails. The Mississippi River Trail and the Lewis and Clark Trail are mostly paved roads.
All right. And I'm guessing that this is Mark Wyatt, Executive Director of the Iowa Bicycle Coalition, on the line with us.
I love that variety in trails, too. I mean, I'm somewhat of a latecomer to the biking scene. And so, to me, it just seems so fascinating. There's not only so many miles of trails in the state to explore. I mean, it would take years to take every trail in the state. But there's so many different types of trails that you can take, too. And that Hartman, the soft trails in the park, that's pretty amazing. There's 300 acres there. Where are the trails within the nature preserve?
You know, they actually shoot off the paved trail. So you start on the paved trail, and then suddenly you'll see maybe a small sign that has the dirt trail that just kind of goes off and into the woods, and it will circle back around and head back to the paved trail eventually.
That's fantastic.
And Mark, before I let you go, what are some of your favorite resources for finding trails?
You know, two great resources out there. One is Google Maps. They've really done a great job with adding a bicycle layer. But Google has also partnered with the Iowa DOT. So if you go to the Iowa DOT's Iowa Bikes website, they have an interactive trail map that shows down to the block of where the trail goes through a community. So it's a great resource to find where you want to go. You can even put where you're at and where you want to go, and it will give you a great trail destination to follow.
Great, Mark. Thank you so much.
Hey, no problem. Thank you.
Mark Wyatt of Iowa City. And, you know, Jennifer, that is true. It's so much easier to find these places than it used to be, but it still takes somebody else to say, hey, this is a cool one. You should give that a try.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that I feel like Iowa does exceedingly well, there are so many trails groups that are working really hard to make sure the trails are connected and clean and safe. And I think that sort of community building, if you ever have any questions of the power of a group, you know, just look to the trails in the state of Iowa. That community building is so helpful. If you just sort of start trolling around the internet to find some of these bicycle groups, you can ask questions online too and say, you know, listen, where should I be riding? Just when I mentioned the Des Moines Bicycle Collective, if you go on and ask, you know, what's a great website for me? Where should I be riding? What's your favorite place? You'll get probably 10 answers within the afternoon, and that's the best way to figure out where you want to go. You can also take a look at the trailsfromrails.com website, and they have a little Iowa section, and you can take a look at all the different trails on there, too, and just see, hey, listen, I'm going to be in Decorah this weekend, and you can look at that website and find out that, oh, the Trout Run Trail goes around the town of Decorah. It's an 11-mile loop around the whole town, and you go past Trout Hatchery. There's a bridge that's lit with LED lights. The loop crosses trout streams 5 times, and you know, it's a pretty amazing little trail. And if you're going to be in Decorah or the area, why not hop on and just take a look?
Absolutely. And you mentioned rail trails. There's another great rail trail, the Great Western Trail.
Yes. I was just out around that area a couple of weeks ago on my bike, and I was looking at all of the different signs. I was out by Waterworks Park in Des Moines. You can pass a winery on that trail, just in Des Moines itself. You go past Orlando's on that trail, just past Waterworks. The Coming Tap is right along the Great Western Bike Trail, which is sort of the mecca for places to go on your bike. You know, you go have a beer, you go have some tacos. It's a place that's become really an icon of what you can do setting up trailside. And just exploring these trails, I think, don't you think, though, when you're moving either by foot or on a bike, you really get to know the scenery in a more intimate way?
Oh, absolutely. You get to see so much more. And it's funny, we spent time on Ragbri this summer, and the link between riding your bicycle across the state and eating a lot
right. Seems
to be a link that is being borne out in some of our most popular bike trails, too.
That's right. You know, I can't mix alcohol and exercise in any way, but some people like to stop for a drink at a bar. There's some really cool bars that are, that are set up. I've heard people talk about the Whistling Donkey in Woodward, and that's, I think, on the High Trestle Trail. Flat Tire Lounge in Madrid is a pretty cool building. It's like a big old aluminum building there. I like to eat when I'm exercising. I think that's kind of my break. There's actually coming up on September 22nd. I know we're not really talking specifically about rides, but this one is pretty interesting to me because it combines that exact thing. The Eastern Iowa Culinary Ride is a bike tour that features local farms in Iowa, Washington, and Johnston counties. It's on September 22nd, and you're really just riding from farm to farm and eating stuff.
And you get a titanium spork if you also participate in the ride as well. We're going to take a break here in just a couple of minutes, but I want to get Tim from Des Moines in on the line at 866-780-9100. Hi, Tim.
Good morning, and thanks for having me. I wanted to echo the kudos for the Trout River Trail in Decorah, and then also the efforts of the Des Moines Bicycle Collective that prints out a little brochure for walks and bikes rides in Des Moines, architecture tours, history tours, et cetera. And on September 29th, they will be hosting Des Moines' first Open Street Initiative. An Open Street Initiative is closing down segments of roadways and turning them over to tricyclists, skaters, and in this case, bicyclists as well. And University Avenue from 21st Street to 41st, or 23rd Street to 41st, is going to be closed to vehicular traffic and opened up to everything else. And one of the featured items that day is going to be a 2,700-pound bicycle that seats 21 individuals.
All right, Tim, thanks a lot for sharing. And there do seem to be so many of these events popping up around Iowa. There get to be more and more every year. And year-round, the Burr Ride is one that it's actually not on my list of things to do. I'm sure it's
but the
a
people
lot of
that
fun.
Go on that ride are huge fans. I mean, I think they get a lot of these rides get cult status, and it's a pretty interesting way to see Iowa at different times of the year and to see a whole group of friends that maybe only see it every time you go on that particular ride.
Absolutely. I'm talking with travel writer Jennifer Wilson. She's here today to talk about great fall bicycle rides around Iowa, and we want to get your recommendations as well. What are your favorite places to ride in Iowa? What are your favorite trails? Give us a call at 866-780-9100. Tell us about the restaurants along the way or the hotels you like to stay at or places you like to camp. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. With me today, travel writer Jennifer Wilson. She's the author of Running Away to Home. Her website is jennifer-wilson.com. And today we're talking about great fall bike rides in Iowa. And we'd love to hear your suggestions as well. What are your favorite trails to ride in Iowa? Is there something that makes it special in the autumn? Maybe there's a great restaurant along the way as well. Let us know. 866-780-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Jennifer, every time you're on the show, I come up with such a long list of places that I want to go that I think I need to quit my job so I can just go on bike rides all the time and have fun in Iowa.
A bike blogger.
Right.
Especially if you did it on a velocipede.
Maybe I could get a following that way.
I would totally read that.
All right. There's one. All right. We've got some great suggestions from other people. Alan suggests the Wabash Trace Nature Trail, which is another one of those rail trails. And this one is, it runs from Council Bluffs to Blanchard for 63 miles.
Right. I'm looking at that's a lot of ride, and I was trying to think how long would that take a newbie like me. Wabash Trace Nature Trail, I have here, I'm looking a little bit at a picture on the map of that. It's Council Bluffs to Blanchard. Wow. There's also a parallel horse path from Council Bluffs to Mineola. I like this because it's in the Les Hills in western Iowa. That's just a beautiful place to travel because it's got that gorgeous scenery that is almost like a ripple in the land, and I love to see that when I'm in that area. Since we're kind of talking about that area, do you mind if I talk about something
Sure.
that's going on around there
Yeah.
right now? If you are at all interested in the Aronia Berry craze that's kind of slowly hitting Iowa, that Aronia Berry Festival, it also takes place in the Les Hills area. It's on September 21st, 22nd. Sawmill Hollow Farm is the name of the place. It's a little farm that's 7 miles north of Missouri Valley. These Aronia berries are crazy. They're like a zillion times more antioxidant than blueberries, supposedly. And people are putting them. You can get them at Hy-Vee now, too. They're getting very popular. This is 30 miles north of Council Bluffs, so it's not too far out of the way, but you kind of have to take a few twists and turns. The farm puts on this festival that's grown to attract more than 3,000 visitors. And you go and take a look at the plants. They give away some plants. You can taste their smoothies. You can taste their wine. They have musicians. They have vendors. It's a really cool weekend, and it's growing and growing. And you got to try those berries, too. I mean, it's super tart, but you know how those – it's a smoothie type of thing for me. I love to throw those in there. And I love that it's the craze is starting in Iowa for once.
Right, right. And apparently the health benefits are
right.
untold. Well,
In the day, they called it black chokecherry. So I wonder if anybody around here has heard of it in that form. Apparently it used to be pretty popular around here. But it's such an unobtrusive crop that that grass can grow right up to it. And it's just shrubs with all of these little berries on them. And you can go out and listen to the bands and just take a day. I think they used to get around via golf cart out there. I don't know if they still do.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. And I want to mention, Alan also suggested the Raccoon River Valley Trail, which is another great trail in western Iowa. And it's now 89 miles of paved trail.
Wow. Yeah, that's a crazy one. And I think it's that being close to the Raccoon River like that, anytime you have a river corridor, you're going to see such great wildlife, too. But one of the things worth mentioning, and I've talked to a lot of people on the trails about this, is you can be zipping along pretty fast and see like a deer on the trail. So when you're in deep woods like that, there's a lot of timberland on that trail, too, that you got to kind of keep an eye out and an ear out for what kind of wildlife might be around
you. You don't want to hit a deer with your bike.
I can't even imagine that.
I'm sure people have done it
anyway.
No. And on the Raccoon River Valley Trail, also Hotel Pati has been very popular, and it was closed this fall, and they now have new owners. So it's supposed to reopen in late October. I know that there were a lot of people who were watching that situation very closely. Let's go back to the phones. Dave is on the line in Urbandale. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Charity.
Hi, what would you like to talk about?
Well, I'm new into biking after a 50-year hiatus. as a kid, I rode a bike a lot because I had to. But recently, I'm taking it up. And you mentioned the Raccoon River Trail. I was on it this morning. It's a beautiful trail with the trailhead in Waukee. And it's very smooth, and I just love the woods. You're talking about the wildlife, the woods, and the fields. It's very peaceful, especially in the morning. That's what I liked about it this morning. My biggest problem as a newbie into this is I'm riding my son's bike. I don't have one yet, but I'm planning to get one, and it doesn't quite fit. So I think if you're getting into biking, you need to have a bike that fits you. Makes a lot of difference.
Sure.
The other part about the Walnut Creek Trail in Des Moines is a favorite. The problem with the trails is getting there, is the interconnect. When you leave home, I don't like riding on Hickman Road.
that's tough, especially in the city. Trying to hit your connectors to get to the actual trail, I think it's getting better and better every year. You know, there's a stretch near I live in Sherman Hill in Des Moines, and trying to get to Grays Lake Park, which is very close, for example, there's you know, like a 2-block area that's not that the trail doesn't exist at all. Having a lack of that link means you cross a couple of busy roads, and it's pretty stressful. I think linking all the things up is something that we're all kind of working toward now, because now we have so many miles of trails, making a smooth link for travelers, especially for families. You know, I mean, you don't want it to be a great group outing and then you have to cross the freeway. You
right.
know?
Dave, thank you so much for your call. Next, let's go to Rocky in Mount Vernon. Hi, Rocky.
Hi. And I just wanted to call in really quick and mention, because it wouldn't be complete about a biking show without mentioning, I think it's the Cedar River Bike Trail that runs through downtown Cedar Rapids that my wife and I trained for RAG brought in, and we actually spent a ton of time on there early in the spring and everything like that. And it's not super woody. I mean, it's got some woods to it, and it's a beautiful trail, but if you want to stop at places, it's like there's a Shack Tavern, there's Odie's and Ely. Then there's a new bar. There's only two bars that actually have been built here not too long ago that cater actually to bicyclists. And one of them would be Parlor City. And then the other one would be the Sag Wagon, the newest one that sits on the lake around by Quaker Oats, if you're familiar with that area. And that's a great bar that has a deck overlooking the little lake and everything. And
tell me the towns that this trail goes through.
I think you're talking about the Cedar Valley Nature Trail, right?
Yeah, Cedar Valley Nature Trail.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. It's goes from Ely to Cedar Rapids on up to Center Point, all the way up to Waterloo, actually, but it's not completely all paved. But it's a huge trail that you can ride all the way to Waterloo and back. Now, I have yet to do that, but we do have friends that we've talked with about, like, you know, going up and staying in Waterloo and riding up one day and staying overnight and then riding back the second day or whatever in Urbana, I think it goes through, in LaPorte City. And it's a huge trail, but most of the time we just ride it from Ely all the way up to usually right around north of Cedar Rapids there and back, actually. And there's a ton of bicycle rides that go on along that route. And there's just a ton of places to stop, and it's right along the river. And so I just wanted to mention it. So, but yeah, and just say thanks for all the bike trails are getting built and everything, because they're really enjoyable to ride on.
So Rocky, thanks.
Whoever does that.
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, a lot of people are doing that. Thank you so much for your call. We also have this email from Carla about pretty much the same spot. She said, I'm motivated to bike by coffee. My new favorite destination from my home in Cedar Rapids is down the Cedar Valley Nature Trail to Ely to the Retreat Coffee Shop Best Cinnamon Rolls Ever. So maybe it's not just the coffee.
Oh, that sounds great.
Attracting her.
I didn't get any breakfast, so now I'm really hungry for that. I'm going to head down to the Hub, actually, after this, which is a new addition to the city of Des Moines. It's right along the river downtown at the end of Court Avenue. Beautiful, beautiful modern building, and it's overlooking the river itself. You can order little munchy sandwiches. You can order coffee there. You can order wine or beer and overlook the river. It's really beautiful. And it's one of the best additions to Des Moines in a long time. Just loving that.
We have another tweet. This one says, my favorite trail to bike in the fall is the Comet and Wolf Creek trails from Conrad through Beeman to Gladbrook.
Hmm.
Which is one I'm not very familiar with. But again, has to go on
That's
my list
pretty
of things
interesting.
To do.
Yeah, no kidding. We'll have to look that one up. There's also, you know, the caller earlier talked about road biking. You know, we have so many miles of flat country roads that I know that are a lot of bikers like to just take those flat country roads where they're not going to have a lot of traffic interrupting them. I've heard it was somewhat common to ride your bike from Iowa City up toward like where the Sutliff Bar is, and you can get Sutliff Cider in Lisbon. You can do a lot of road biking around there. Have you heard about people doing that?
I haven't, but I'm not in the know about everything. So
it's a you know, it sounds like it's a fairly flat place to ride your bike, and that, you know, people leaving Iowa City can go up through Solon to Lisbon and then coming back again. And there's actually a new place to eat that will be along that route in Solon. It's called Salt Fork Kitchen. The grand opening for that place is September 22nd. The last I heard, they were getting their dairy shipment from Hanson's Dairy in Blackhawk County, and their syrup from Green Sugar Bush. It's going to be all locally sourced scratch food for breakfast 7 days a week. And I think their motto, it looks like their motto is quality food at a fair price for you and the farmer. So it sounds to me like that will be a yummy halfway point.
Absolutely. We also talked earlier a little bit about mountain biking, and we have this email from Wes. He says, make sure to check out the Cedar Valley Association for Soft Trails website to find out about mountain bike and off-road running trails in the area. And their website is cvast.org. So you can find out about a few of those. And you also had a line on some mountain bike trails in central Iowa, right?
That's right. That CVAST has been really popular, are really hardworking in getting those trails in place in the area that we talked about at the beginning of the show. I've also heard terrific things about mountain biking at Seven Oaks in Boone. It's a recreation area where you can ski in the wintertime, but you can do it's single track for mountain bikers. There's a 7-mile course. The trail is available for daily public use. They also have a lot of organized races on there. You go through over bridges and through woods. You get to see a little creek kind of trickling by. It sounds like a lovely place. You got some good wildlife views there too. If you're interested in that, it's a $4 daily riding fee, but you get to kind of try your chops out in the woods. It just sounds like a lot of fun.
It's not a flat place.
No. And you know what? That's why I gravitate rails to trails, baby. You know, I want it flat, and I want to go for a long time, and I want a restaurant in the middle. That's where I'm. That's my sweet spot. And there's lots of it going on in Iowa.
Well, and you mentioned being kind of new to riding your bike on these trails. And I'm guessing part of that is that your kids are old enough to do it with you now. How do you motivate the kids?
You know, that's something that I'm always trying to think, you know, when do we not, how do we not overdo it? And, you know, the first time we went out, we went way too far and there were tears on the way home. For me, it seems like getting the kids motivated has to do with little treats along the way. You know, we're going to pack a little bit of a lunch. We're going to pack some great snacks. We're going to have a little Izzy drink in the middle. I mean, it's just the same as with adults. It's got to be something in it for them because they're not motivated to exercise because they want to lose a bunch of weight or anything. But I mean, making a fun family outing for me, I think, especially with beginners, keep it flat, keep it short. Make sure you have plenty of great treats. Take a backpack full of love so that you can stop and enjoy the nature and just kind of see where the bike takes you. There's no hurry on a bike either. You know, a lot of people, it seems like they're going for a time trial when they zip by me, but it doesn't matter. I mean, all they do is pass me on the left and I can still enjoy the trees. I'm loving about the biking in Iowa. I see everybody on the trails, whether you have a really sweet, sleek bike or you're just a kid with a horn on your bike. They all fit there.
In the fall, there are all these great events that happen all over the state. You mentioned the Aronia Berry Festival in southwestern Iowa. A lot of towns have Oktoberfests or fall festivals. Where do you like to look for that information?
You know, Iowa has a great tourism site that you can go to. I'm going to go to it right now and tell you the exact place that you can just look up the stuff. You go to traveliowa.com. And you can go look at all sorts, whatever you're in the mood for, you can take a look at. But they have a really great festivals website where you can kind of see what your interest is. Are you interested in history, art, culture? Are you interested in beer? I mean, there's all sorts of great ways to search for this stuff on the website itself. And I'm not sure how much people are turning to that website to find how to fill their weekends. But it's always, for me, a really great place to sort of base my interest for the weekend. It's, again, it's traveliowa.com. You just go to their calendar of events. You can search by region. You can search by city. You can search by what your area of interest is. And they even have a biking section on there. It looks like they even have a section called charity on there. I don't know if they're trying to, if it's like everybody's looking for you.
Right, or... I don't think so.
It's charity watching. This is what charity's doing this weekend.
Right, I'm staying home. So what is your next adventure that you have planned?
You know, I have, in the fall, I love to go to, in fact, there's a bike trail up there. I love going to northeast Iowa in the fall. There's so much great elevation up there. It's such a beautiful place to visit any time of the year. But in the fall, the trees are incredible on the Mississippi River. And I believe the trail is called the Heritage Trail. And you can take a look at the when you go along this trail, you're going to go in some of the deepest wilderness that you'll find in the state of Iowa. That's my favorite spot to be in the fall.
And of course, that's where the leaves in Iowa start to change. So you can go there in early fall and focus on the more southern parts of the state as the fall progresses.
Absolutely, it is called the Heritage Trail. It starts in Dyersville and ends in Dubuque. And ending in Dubuque is a nice spot because you can do that favorite thing where you go and find a great place to stay overnight, and you can have a soft bed after a lot of hard work during the day. It's a 26-mile trail, and you go through the high bluffs around there. There's lots of little river overlooks. It's rugged woodlands. You get the best of Iowa on that trail, it looks like.
All right, Jennifer, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been a great time. Keep being a reckless girl, Charity.
All right. You too. You too. We'll take down society, but we'll have fun doing it.
That's right.
Travel writer Jennifer Wilson. She is the author of Running Away to Home. Her website is jennifer-wilson.com. You can find her work in a number of different publications, including Iowa Outdoors Magazine. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Emily Woodbury, Sarah Bowden, and Ben Stanton. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Technical support today from Rick Fredrickson in Des Moines. Podcasting and on-demand audio of Talk of Iowa are available at iowapublicradio.org. You can send us email anytime. We'd love your reactions to things that you've heard on the show. We'd love to hear your suggestions about things you would like to hear on the show. The email address is talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by the River Monks. I'm Charity Nebbe. Tomorrow on the show, we'll take an inside look on the changing season with Iowa State University Extension wildlife specialist Rebecca Christoffel. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio News.